Hello and welcome to the What's Current podcast, where we discuss all things electrical. On the show today, we have myself, Andrew Duffin. I'm the technical commercial engineer at Napier. I'm also joined by Gareth Yeomans. Get that right. And he's a technical manager for the electrical vehicle charging department of Sync Energy.
That's right. I've been there 3 years now.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So that's a good way to start off the show then, Gareth. If you could kick off by giving our listeners an overview of your background and your role at Sync Energy.
If we go right back to the early days,
yeah,
I was an apprentice electrician by trade. That's where I started off.
Fantastic.
I was in the same class as Sam from Ovals.
Ah, okay.
So I was in his apprenticeship class.
Oh, yeah, small world.
It is a very small world. Yeah. I've always been quite hands-on, you see.
Right.
And I kind of looked at the world and went, everyone's always going to need water. Everyone's always going to need electric. And I didn't fancy getting wet.
So you picked the right track.
So I went for electrician. Right. Yeah. So I've did all my apprenticeship through that side of things. Set up on my own for a few years back in York. So I did a self-employed for a few years from there.
Yeah.
And then I moved down to Hereford to be with my wife.
Okay.
Well, now wife. And then went working for companies back down there, because obviously didn't have a customer base, didn't know anyone there. I moved literally.
And what sort of often. Work was that doing down there?
I actually got into EV. That's where my EV career started.
Okay, interesting.
So I started off back in the day at what used to be ChargeMaster.
Okay, yeah.
For their commercial network, doing EV installations, commercial charge points up and down the country. We've done a lot of work around these sort of areas and Scotland and every other corner of the globe you could actually think of.
Yeah.
And then from there, I kind of decided that I didn't want to be on the tools forever.
Yeah, but we all get to that sort of point in our life, don't we?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to my granddad's electrician as well.
Okay.
So that's where he cut his teeth in there as well. And about 70-odd, he was lugging storage bricks up 3 flights of stairs. And I kind of went, that's not the kind of life I want. I need to save my knees where I can. So I jumped into the office from there. So I started running commercial jobs, pricing jobs up, going and surveying sites, getting a little bit more off the tools.
Yes.
Before taking the next step into it, which was being technical manager and running back-end stuff of EV chargers.
Okay.
And then from there, jumped into a different company that I worked for a couple of years, a rival competitor now.
Okay.
Before coming and joining the Luceco Group and being part of their Sync EV team at the time.
Yes.
To help bring their technical division back up to speed and get everything up and running to where it is now.
Yeah, that nicely brings us on to a question I've got next there, which was, you've had a rebranding of your company name.
Did,
yes. You mentioned it was part of the Luceco Group, and before that it was Sync EV.
Yeah.
And now it's Sync Energy. So what's the difference in name? Why the difference in name? What does it mean to our members and listeners?
Yeah, so we started off as Sync EV. So it was first founded back in 2015. So it's been around a while as the company itself. And it came out with the world's smallest charger. It was basically an adaptable box with a socket outlet in it. And at the time, perfect for what it needed to be.
Yeah.
It then got bought out by Luceco in 2022. So that's when Luceco Group came in.
Right.
And so when Luceco Group came in, we then were able to throw resources at it. We had technical support back in. We had the actual team to build this,
to grow it
to where it needed to be.
Okay, yeah.
And that's sort of where it became BG Sync EV. So it threw the BG banner underneath the Sync EV. Sync EV.
I would say most of our members and listeners will probably know BG, British General. That's where the Luceco falls under that group as well.
Falls under that group as well, along with every other companies. And then back in August this year, we rebranded once more to Sync Energy.
Oh.
So the point of that is we kind of got to a point with Sync EV where you can't go any further with it. You're always going to be an EV manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to brand into more renewable side of things. And
of course.
It's where the company needs to go. It's where the whole world needs to go, really.
It makes perfect sense.
So that's where we sort of jumped into changing the brand under Sync Energy and allowing us to open up our basically portfolio into more than just EV chargers.
Okay. So what does that lead on to then? Is that battery storage? Is it solar panels? Is it heat pumps? What we're going to, or can't you say?
So. Oh, no, we can, because we showcased it at the ELEX show that we kindly worked with Napit on.
Yeah.
So we were there with our energy flow system, which is an inverter system, battery storage, all modular. So, again, expandable to give that customer basically satisfaction for that one. Yeah. We've trying to look at solar diverters because we started doing bits and pieces what we can do with renewable energies, because it's great putting it into battery systems and using them in the... it's kind of trying to think of what else can you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
The feed-in tariffs nowadays aren't as great as they used to be.
No, no.
So it's trying to maximise that as that asset effectively.
Yeah, yeah. What you produce on there, what can you use it for, basically? Obviously, your battery is predominantly an area that you would... You generally use your solar for,
yep.
or send it back to the grid. Those are the areas, or use it for wherever you can. So, yeah, it makes sense to then think about, what else can we do with it?
Yeah. One of the common questions we always get asked is, can I pull it into my car? Mm-hmm. You know, electric vehicles, can I pull it in? And it's, yes, you could, but typical battery systems in domestic properties, like 5-6 kilowatts,
yeah,
gets you about 20 miles of range. You could utilise that so much better in other areas of your property, basically, and yeah. keep your energy bills down.
Well, I think that's the key part, isn't it? Energy costs, isn't it? And obviously, there's a big, you know, rollout from the government of net zero, carbon neutral,
yeah,
grid independency, and so on. So, yeah, falls into the market nicely, doesn't it, your products?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're trying to do there, is just give back to both installers and communities about a product that's suitable for everything.
And I suppose if you're installing your equipment, then it's probably transferable through. So it's like quite easy to sync the other piece of equipment together.
Yeah.
Seamlessly, I'm guessing you would say that, saying hopefully it is.
It's trying to give that whole energy solution. It's not just you buy one product, you run that off one app, you buy another product, yes. you run that off another app, and you end up having a phone full of about 20 different apps to annoy your different smart things.
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to put that all into one, so you can just control all your house through one simple place.
Yeah, it makes real sense. So that brings us on to, obviously, how important is it to collaborate between Sync Energy and electrical insulation installers to deliver this, you know, carbon neutral, you know, net zero? How are we going to achieve it? You know, installers and manufacturers like yourself are going to have to work together.
Yes.
To Zoom.
Yeah, so we put installers at the core of our products.
Okay.
Again, been a contractor back in the day myself, I kind of know what the challenges people come up against. Yeah. And it's... Products are always great when you bring them out to market, but you kind of need that feedback from the installers themselves. Yes. What are the troubles they're having on site?
Yes.
And it's how we can innovate and bring new stuff forward to make their lives easier.
I've worked with Litico Group previously before joining Napier, and that was through the focus groups that you had. And obviously electricians come in, and sometimes you let an electrician maybe have your product before anyone else to give it a little trial.
Yep.
And then you can feedback what they're for. Oh, we don't like this, but we like this and we like that. I think the Litico Group and all your products are really good for electricians in that area, isn't it?
Yeah, it's we understand that they're buying the products and they're putting them in place. So it's got to be suitable for them. If they've got a gripe over a size of a screw hole or where something is.
Yeah.
As a manufacturer, we've got the power to be able to adjust and move that. We own the assets to make most of the tools for the products themselves, so we can adapt.
Yeah.
It's not like we're buying loads of third-party products in and then just sticking our name on it. We actually make a lot of this kit ourselves.
Yeah. Like I said, they talked about, obviously, you've got your own factory overseas, haven't you, in China. So that's a big asset, isn't it, that you can then, you know, your products, you can be bespoke to what Taylor needs of the electrician.
Taylor needs for an electrician, and it means we can keep up with growing trends as well, because we can adapt.
Yeah, regulation changes.
Regulation changes, drop into that one.
It's a big thing out there, isn't it? So from your perspective, Gareth, what are the biggest challenges we face in moving towards a more sustainable, low carbon energy system?
A lot of it, in my opinion, basically comes down to customer perception.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, again, electric vehicles is the key one for this one. You'll see a lot of people scaremongering over EV vehicles. Oh, they don't do 600 miles and drive through the night and everything, things like that. You see some weird and wonderful things out there on the old socials. Internet's great for that one.
Yeah.
So it's customer perception that's really changing, mm-hmm. and it is coming in. So it's customer knowledge, customer expectations, managing their expectations as well, along with the fact that the technology is now that far advanced.
Mm-hmm.
So again, back in the early days, you used to have sorry for calling them out, but an awful looking Nissan Leaf with the little bug eyes on it that did about 80, 90 miles range, and that was your EV vehicle.
Yeah, and that would probably be okay in the city, probably to the shops, yeah. You know, going to local work, and that would be fine, yes.
But now we're 5 years down the line from when I remember that one's been out, and we're doing vehicles that can do 400-500 miles now. I mean, the world record was set last year, I believe it was, 2024 it was set, and they took a standard Ford Mustang E, and they did 545 miles on one tank of charge, all around Cambridge and areas. It wasn't like it was in a test bed somewhere. It was done properly. Uphill, downhill, it was on a road.
Yeah, I get that.
So the technology's catching up, but it's the customer perception that needs to be caught up with it.
Yeah, and I suppose, obviously, you know, I keep on saying it, you've got the race to net zero, new government coming.
Yeah.
They've set some real high targets, especially in the domestic setting of new build houses.
Yeah.
So obviously we've got to get our installers to get the products available as well. You see, it's all right saying we've got to build all this and do all this, but if the products are not there to have the infrastructure, we're going to be struggling a little bit.
Yes, and that's kind of where we try and come in as a manufacturer. We try and fill that void that installers' wants and needs, again, based off focus groups we run, talks that we have on trade shows and things like that, we'll then design products to suit what the market's demanding.
Yeah, I suppose that leads us on to our sort of next sort of question on there, Gareth, really. It's about really the commissioning process and the technical support and what training or tools are available for our members that want to work with your products, you know, like an expert installer.
Yep.
You do stuff like that, do you?
Yeah, we do a few bits and pieces for them.
Okay.
So we start off with like the training side of things. Mm-hmm. So we don't go down the route of you've got to come into our offices and we've got to sign you off and things. We do it all online.
Okay.
So we're not asking people to give up the days on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday. It's like you can do that in your own time.
Which would be hard, wouldn't it, if a sole trader.
Yeah.
It would be difficult, that would be. So it's good to know.
Yeah, if they've got a free couple hours on a Saturday doing paperwork.
everyone has a free couple hours.
Everyone has a free couple hours. But it basically runs through all the training process, and it's product specific.
Yep.
We're not teaching you how to suck eggs on this one. It's teaching you how to commission a product. Because there's no need for us to have laptops. You don't need a laptop on site plugging it in and become an IT wizard to set chargers up. If you've got a smartphone, you can set our products up.
Yeah. And is there, I suppose, you've said there's online courses, which would be your CPD. I'm guessing you get a certificate at the end of doing that. Is there like videos that they can go watch? Maybe yourself, Gareth.
Well reminded. Yeah.
doing some, you know, your magic, as I would call it, going to his house to install your equipment, which is vital.
Yeah. We've got a few videos out there on the Luceco page. They're also on the Sync Energy website as well for how to do bits and pieces.
Yeah.
The key one was commissioning for me. So we ran a commissioning video. And I did it from start to finish, and there's no cuts in the edit. That was one of the things we were determined to set.
I know nothing about cuts in video. Yeah, fair play to you. Go on.
So we set that up, and it was a key part for me, because I see a lot of these other training videos out there, and you miss out the 10 minutes that everyone's struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just went, right, from start to finish, this is what it is. One shot, one take, and it was 4 minutes 20 from start to finish in a full EV charger.
Wow.
And that's full load management and talking about it.
So once you've got your EV charger fitted to the wall, you've got it obviously energised, you've tested it.
Yep.
Now it's just, right, let's commission it, let's get it working for the customer.
Yes.
And it took you four and a half minutes,
if I'm being honest.
That's really good then. So that to me sounds it's quite straightforward, simple to use.
Straightforward and simple to use. And that's what we're trying to bring through for our energy systems as well.
Yeah.
So it's trying to keep that same ethos of being easy to install and basically making sure you're spending a little time on site as possible setting these things up.
Yeah.
And it's why we've put the same app. So again, it comes back to not having multiple apps. We've got the same installer app that you transfer over to a home user. Well, that's going to be for our home energy system as well. So it's got the same app to commission EV chargers, both domestic and commercial ones. You've got the same one for home energy management systems, inverters, batteries. It's all done through the same place.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
You know, using EV chargers and, you know, especially different apps. The world is getting better with all the different apps, because it was years ago, like you said, every time you went to a service station or wherever, you had to download an app. And it was, I think it was putting a lot of people off.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely changing.
I don't think it was the actual range anxiety, probably a little bit, but I did speak to a lot of people, oh God, I don't know if this happened. A certain generation would be fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, as you get a little bit older, experience in life, that these they come a lot more difficult to use. It seems like you have to get your five-year-old to come and do it all for you, basically.
It does. It almost seems... I said people are scared of, not so much scared is the wrong word for that one. People don't like change.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm one of them. Don't like change.
Yeah.
I'll put my hands up for that one. But if you're changing it in a good way and making life easier, that's the way forward.
Yeah.
So contractors out there and the members as well, they don't just fit one brand of charger. They might fit three or four different.
Yeah, of course.
Each one has a different commissioning procedure.
Yes.
You've got to try and remember all this.
Yeah. I think you've touched a good point there. I think maybe our members probably will have a couple of favourites, I would have thought, that they go, right, I know I've stolen this one or that one. Because yeah. In your experience of your previous role, did the customer pick the charger or did you specify the charger yourself as an installer?
So as the installer, you could lead the customer to pick your favourite one.
Yeah.
And that's based down to a few things. Some of them are spec for what they actually want. Do they want solar charging? Well, you've got to have sync energy charger or this charger. Do they want certain aspects of aesthetics and then they go down the different route? There's certain things and aspects that the customer wants, but you take that into account and you filter through the ones you know how to install and go, that's the best one for them.
I think that's a very good point because you get nervous about new equipment, don't you?
Yeah.
Installing it for the first time.
Yeah.
I think that can always be a bit, what am I going to come against? And if it goes well, then you sort of go, well, I'll stick to that one.
It's kind of, I keep running back to this. Why don't we do with the app side of things? So we do the hard bit for an install should be putting the cable in.
Yeah, the routine, getting it from A to B.
Should be the most difficult part of the install, not the commissioning.
Yeah.
So like the app runs through a wizard. So if you are doing your first time install, click the little eye icons, it'll tell you exactly what each button does and where you go to next. Even if you haven't watched any of our videos or training content, you've got the access there.
Well, I think it would be, good practice as our members listen here, that if you are in commissioning certain piece of equipment, that you should go on their courses for CPD for their equipment. Like you said, they're only like 10 minutes long, ain't they?
Yeah, they're not long.
They're not long. It's part of your CPD. There's videos out there. Why wouldn't you do a little course, watch a video, and then you sort of know what you're doing before you get there, don't you?
Yeah.
In a way, it gives that reassurance.
Yeah, you've seen it all before then. Mm-hmm. You're not surprised by what turns up on the phone screen. It's like, I've already seen all this.
And as everyone, I've been guilty of it. I've probably not read the instructions, fitted something, and when it doesn't work, I'm like reading the instructions or trying to find a video to tell me what I've done wrong.
Yeah, that's me all over.
Yeah. We probably need to get away from that attitude a little bit and go, well, actually, we could do a little course.
Yeah.
Watch a little video. That'd probably take us 10, 20 minutes out of our life. We could do it on a lunch break or wherever we can fit it in. And then, boom, we know what we're doing before we get there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, anyway.
Hopefully. And we'd sort of try and do this with our technical support in the head office. Okay. So head office is Telford. So we are UK-based. We've got full technical support there as well. If you've done bits and pieces and you're still completely stuck. Mm-hmm.
Which could happen.
We are there to help.
Yeah.
We're not there to go, you're on your own now, mate.
We
will do utmost, and we'll even walk you through the setup procedure if needed as well.
And that technical outline, what sort of opening hours for that? Is it normal 9 to 5?
Normal 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. We started just expanding that slightly into more weekends and bank holidays. And again, just as the company grows, we as basically an EV chargers, you're not just relying on it for Monday to Friday. No. You kind of need it at weekends as well.
Yeah, so it makes sense. A lot of installers may be doing weekend work, bank holiday work.
Bank holiday work is double, triple time for some companies.
Yeah. It does make sense that you would need that technical support on a weekend. And like you said, the customer can phone the technical support as well once the commissioning process has been done and the customer's got the instructions and all the details, they can phone technical support if some lights flashing on it or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, they can phone us up as well and we will help them out. If the install's done correctly and it's all online, we can dial into them remotely and we can see what's happening. If something happens at 2 o'clock in the morning and the vehicle's not charged for any reason, we can revert back to the logs and see what occurred in that one. And quite often or not, it's vaulted spikes, various other bits and pieces. Yes. Vehicle rejected it for one reason or another, but we can diagnose that and try and assist the best way possible.
There's always a few little gremlins sometimes, isn't there, with technology, especially when you're relying on a Wi-Fi signal, you know, to charge, because obviously the charger hasn't got an on-off button on it. It's controlled through your smartphone, through the app, isn't it?
When
you want to schedule a charge in early hours or just want to charge straight away.
Yeah, and customers will set multiple charge schedules. They'll do one on the charger app, one on the vehicle app, and then they'll conflict each other.
Right.
But by dialing into logs, we can see what was happening and help that customer out as well.
I think that's good to know that there's technical support available for both members of installers of the equipment, customers of their, obviously, the CPD, this training. Out there as well, videos. See Gareth. I suppose I asked this question, but it's sort of a funny question to ask because we can never predict the future. But what do you see the biggest opportunities for Sync Energy and the wider electrical industry in the next 5-10 years, Gareth? What do you see coming up?
We sort of touched on it earlier. Okay. You touched on the fact that new house builders go in solar.
Yeah.
So again, it was only a couple of years ago they said every house must have an EV charger, new build.
Yes.
And now they're doing the same with solar. So every house has got to have a 1.5 kilowatt solar system going on there.
Yeah.
But you're going to need to be able to then expand on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great having the bare minimum effectively to pass what you need to pass for them ones. But the customer side of things, they're going to want to expand on that. And that's kind of where modular systems start coming into it.
Yeah, yeah. I get you.
So that's sort of like the big thing for new house builders. We see a lot coming through vehicles, and that's starting to improve for vehicle-to-grid, vehicle-to-home technology.
Yes.
Yeah. That is the biggest buzzword anywhere at the moment.
Can you explain what that is, then, Gav, a little bit?
That's basically taking your electric vehicle battery to power your house.
Yeah, so if you've got a leftover battery charge in your car, you can then plug your car back into the house and send that energy back into your battery system,
or
wherever your case may be.
Exactly that. And that's technology that's starting to come through. It's been talked about for years. It's available for like DC chargers, but they're a small fortune. You kind of need a mini mortgage just to buy the charger.
Right.
So it's starting to filter through, and the technology and everything's starting to get there for AC versions.
Right.
Now, again, it is probably going to need a change of hardware to make bi-directional fully compatible with EV chargers. Yeah. And there's some things to watch out for in terms of battery warranty on vehicles.
Yeah, because you obviously, you're taking energy from one to another, back and forth.
Yeah.
And we know, like, rechargeable batteries that don't last forever, do they? Even a normal AA battery or AAA battery, rechargeable one, obviously you keep on charging it, you know, draining it, charging it, the battery life does.
And it's a little bit for like second-hand markets as well for that. Because you could go buy a brand new electric vehicle and it's got 0 miles on the clock or delivery mileage.
Mm.
And then you could have it into your house for 10, 20 years. It's still got 0 miles on it, but the battery's effectively done 250,000 miles. Because you keep draining it to power your house up and you're opt up.
Yeah. But that is a big thing. And I think that's definitely something we should look on the horizon for. Anything else you see coming up?
So the couple of the things we see is how the chargers are changing themselves.
Okay.
So we've just brought out what we call the Link charger, which again is a homage back to the early Sync. It's the world's smallest charger now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that sticks 37 mil off the wall.
Wow.
Which means everything's from the outlet looks aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
Okay. But where the technology is different, because we've got a pattern on it now.
Okay.
So it's a full different technology in that side because all the charger, the con unit, the gubbins, everything's away from the outlet. You can put that in house somewhere, perfect Wi-Fi signal, the lot.
Right.
And then you use something like EV Ultra cable with the power and data to then pull it from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like technology's advancing in chargers now. It's no longer just a contactor.
I'm trying to picture this for our listeners. So you've got a charge point.
Yeah.
But it's just a plug.
It's literally just a plug.
And then you've probably got a separate consumer unit with the technology, the circuitry required for the EV charger in the consumer unit, separate or a separate unit itself?
Completely separate. So that can be up to 50 meters away. And that'll have all the charger gubbins in it. It's got your RCD in there, your load management, your everything you need built into that one. And then, again, joys have been Luceco Group, with BG Electrical as well. So we've put the BG Electrical fuse board built into that as well. So you've got both a fuse board and a charger all built into one that can go internal, external. It's all metal clad.
And you just take a cable from A to B.
Just take a cable from A to B, and then you'll have the world's smallest charger now.
I suppose it's going to look aesthetically, maybe. That's what you were talking about earlier on with your customer. And maybe actually where you can fit a charger might be tight locations.
Yes.
You know, thinking of terrace houses here a little bit as well for this.
So we looked at terrace houses and we also looked at places like underground car parks.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you've got the charger and the expensive asset open to public, which depends where you have them installed, depends whether you need to put a cage around them.
Yeah. It goes on, unfortunately. That's the way it works.
So we take the expensive bit and the gubbins, and you could put them in the plant room then. Right. And then you've only got the outlet on the wall.
Right, I see.
So it's again...
You're moving it away, so there's less chance of damage of the vital equipment. There might be damage to the actual socket itself, but that might be an easier piece of equipment to replace.
A lot easier to replace than the actual expensive part of an EV charger, which is the circuitry in that one. So we looked at them sort of side of things as well. You've got a lot of flats and residential areas there. Again, they need somewhere to charge. It's normally communal parking for that one.
How
do you get from A to B? It's all trying to figure out all these bits and pieces.
It goes back to the government targets that we talked about earlier on the show, that we've got to meet these demands, and manufacturers have got to work with installers to find ways to install this equipment to meet the demands that we've set.
And with the grant schemes as well, the government come out with. So the EV one's the prime example one, because that should have been extended another year. So it was due to end March this year.
Right.
They've extended the commercial workplace grant another year.
Yeah.
So that's a whole another year of people being able to claim grants back for EV chargers.
Yeah.
There's still a load of solar grants out there. There's landlord grants. There's flats and renters grants. There's a lot of grant schemes out there that members can take basically utilise and get the most out of it.
For the customer, it's going to obviously help the customer afford the install costs, because they can be quite high as well. So it sort of alleviates that a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For them. Yeah, makes sense. So I think that wraps up the show, Gareth, mate. I think that's been brilliant. A massive thank you for coming in.
Norris, thanks for having me.
Taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're a very busy man. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and until next time, stay safe, stay grounded, and keep the current flowing, Gareth.
We'll try.